This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab. Adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
This is On the Media. I'm Bob Garfield.
And I'm Brooke Gladstone. So, we've got a battle over Brexit, which fundamentally is about big symbolic issues. Power, sovereignty, inclusion. And we're up against a wall over the U.S. government shutdown, which also is about big symbolic issues like executive power, national priorities, and the role of government. And then there's the hand-to-hand combat taking place under our very noses over who is the supreme leader of YouTube. 160 million people have taken sides in what is depicted as a David versus Goliath story, or maybe Goliath versus Goliath. Let's start with...
How's it going, everyone? My name is PewDiePie.
So PewDiePie is a character played by Felix Schellberg. He is a caustic and funny gamer.
Clay Shirky is a tech writer and vice provost of educational technology at New York University. He's tracked PewDiePie's 9-year rise to the top of YouTube.
He's Swedish. He lives in England. He's 29. And he's one of the first generation of YouTubers who did it as a hobby and converted it to a career.
PewDiePie's subscriber count started to rise on the appeal of a now classic genre of videos called Let's Play, as in, you watch him goof around while he plays a game. He's now got 80 million subscribers. But 2 years ago, he started dipping into controversy.
All right, Disney cutting ties with, what is this?
PewDiePie.
PewDiePie. The Wall Street Journal reporting that PewDiePie, the world's highest paid YouTube star, posted 9 videos featuring anti-Semitic comments or Nazi imagery.
The Wall Street Journal reported that a January 11th video showed two men holding a sign that said death to all Jews, allegedly hired by the 27-year-old internet personality.
Google cut PewDiePie from its lucrative preferred ad program and canceled his premium YouTube original series. PewDiePie, by the way, did not respond to any of our requests for comment.
I'm sorry for the words that I used, as I know they offended people. I do strongly believe that you can joke about anything. Here's the thing, though. The media takes what I say out of context to portray me as a Nazi. Old school media does not like internet personalities because they're scared of us.
The context question is often used as a get-out-of-jail card to say to people, I don't want to be held to standards other than those held by my own audience.
And I buy that. I do. But there's this really smart anthropologist, Crystal Abedin, and she went through a lot of the citations of PewDiePie's transgressions mm-hmm. that were assembled by the Wall Street Journal. The Wall Street Journal circulated a still of PewDiePie supposedly making the Nazi salute. When this was actually him just extending his arm and pointing off screen, there was another one that the Wall Street Journal did of PewDiePie donning a uniform and watching Hitler videos. When this was actually the second half of a longer snippet in which PewDiePie first refuted earlier media accusations that he was a Nazi and then jokingly donning a British uniform while pretending to watch clips of Hitler's speech to depict how he thinks the media views him. I mean, this isn't just casual context.
No, that's right. But I don't think there's any claim of being out of context that saves the death to all Jews stunt.
Actually, I watched that entire thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he was asking a whole bunch of people to do things that he knew they wouldn't do. And this was one that he had put in that group on Fiverr, who for a certain amount of money will do something on video that you request. He'd asked for outrageous things. No one did it. And for $5, two guys from India did this death to all Jews thing. Mm-hmm. And you see his reaction.
I am sorry. I didn't think they would actually do it. I feel partially responsible, but just I didn't think they would.
And he looks genuinely shocked. He just never expected it. Now, should he have done that? Was it really obnoxious and creepy? Yeah, but I think he kind of conceded that himself.
Yeah, but that to me says he can sort of have it both ways.
There's a Wall Street Journal article that's out, written by the Daily Stormer's favorite group of guys, exposing plans to take over the world and make it white. Hitler is PewDiePie.
The problem with PewDiePie is not that he's a Nazi. The problem is that he's an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to be both edgy and not upset mm-hmm. people, because his audience expects edginess, but his advertisers expect not upsetting people. And one of his constant complaints about people pushing back on his edgy content, which often involves racial slurs or using the word retarded, casual homophobia, these kinds of things, is that he's being held to a standard that his own audience doesn't have, right? He's now finally being treated as a cultural figure who says something about the larger society. He's not just a gamer mouthing off to amuse other gamers.
PewDiePie's mounting controversies had little effect in his ranking as the most subscribed to YouTuber until the rise of the Indian super channel T-Series.
It's on course to become the most subscribed channel on YouTube and is about to pass the controversial personality PewDiePie.
Out of nowhere comes this channel, T-Series. They're at like 60 million subscribers and their channel is going insane. And I'm thinking, who are these guys? What is T-Series?
T-Series is like India's Disney, almost synonymous with the films and music it produces, like the viral song Lahore by Guru Randhwa.
T-Series is, I guess, everywhere. Every part of the country, there is T-Series.
This is Indian YouTuber Carrie Manati, who has 5.5 million subscribers.
YouTube came in India very late. Before YouTube, we had CDs, DVDs, we had VHS, we had cassettes. Every Bollywood movie has a song mm-hmm. in it.
Of course.
So most of them were released by T-Series. I think it's been there forever.
Forever, coming from a YouTuber who knows his way around the entertainment industry.
Okay, so I've been doing this for a long time. It's been like 10 years, I guess, from now.
And how old are you?
I'm 19.
Wait a minute. You've been doing it since you were 9?
Yeah, kind of. I've been making like a lot of content, from like football tricks to PSP tutorials to gameplays. Mm-hmm. Lot of things. I've done a lot of things.
Gulshan Kumar, son of a juice seller, started what became T-Series in 1983, growing it into what's now the ubiquitous emblem of Indian pop culture. And so it remains, though Kumar was murdered by the Mumbai underworld in 1997. Today, the company distributes Bollywood, Bhangra, and hip-hop in a variety of Indian languages, all of which is available on a YouTube channel, the subscribership of which has sometimes briefly even overtaken PewDiePie's.
For failing, another YouTube channel is taking over.
That's right, in no less than in November this year. PewDiePie will not be the biggest channel on YouTube. No! We must fight back.
YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, and Snapchat were flooded with PewDiePie's calls to action.
I want to put subscribe to PewDiePie on the largest billboard in Times Square.
In this video, I will say PewDiePie 100,000 times to stop T-Series.
People around the world doing campaign for PewDiePie. And in Bangladesh, it's not different. People there sticking posters on the trees and the walls.
I am going to destroy my body with a subscribe to PewDiePie tattoo.
Everyone doing their part. Have you been doing your part?
They've taken control of printers around the world to create posters supporting the vlogger PewDiePie.
The other day, I was sitting at work, and the printer started printing something.
While 23-year-old Sarah Moore was working her job at a hair salon in Wilson, North Carolina, the office printer, one of 50,000 hacked worldwide, spat out posters promoting PewDiePie.
It was honestly one of the best things that's ever happened, because I never thought it would actually come to my salon that I work at and everything. Basically, I've always been a fan of PewDiePie since, like, forever.
So what does the war represent to you?
The Wall Street Journal and, like, these other publications, basically, they're just taking things completely out of context. And to rise up and, like, defend him, I guess, and, like, have this battle for him, it kind of, to me, represents that YouTube still has this really, like, nice, deep-seated community of people who know what's right and what's wrong. And we live in a world where canceled culture is so strong. Somebody does one thing wrong, and then you want to cancel them forever.
Sarah disavows the anti-Semitic joke video, but believes his apologies are genuine, and her fear of cancel culture is shared widely on the platform. To many of his fans, PewDiePie is the David up against YouTube the Goliath, against the media Goliath, against the T-Series Goliath.
While everyone else is just moaning and complaining and turning our beloved T-Series into a tyrant, into this big music industry typhoon that's coming in and taking away the little guy, which, don't get me wrong, definitely is all those things. But it's our evil corporation, okay? For once, our evil corporation gets to win and gets to take the number one spot.
Canadian Indian YouTuber Jess Rain.
Because maybe it is our time now. Maybe your karma of colonizing us is finally catching up through us beating you and a completely unnecessarily racially motivated subscriber race on YouTube.
Meanwhile, the diss track Bitch Lasagna, with over 100 million views, is PewDiePie's most popular video. The song takes its title from a meme ridiculing the broken English of Indians online. Other YouTubers like Ethan Klein of H3H3 Productions have fanned the flames.
These motherfuckers have like 1.4 billion people in India. They are churning out YouTube views in unprecedented numbers. Bollywood is the corniest on the history of the earth. And aren't all Indians the goofiest people you've ever met in your life? No, I'm kidding. That was a joke.
In response to PewDiePie, Ethan Klein, and the waves of anti-Indian hate on social media, Kari Minati made his own diss track in Hindi to capture how Indians are processing the feud.
I've seen a lot of comments that say that PewDiePie did it as a joke. And I've seen a lot of comments that say PewDiePie did not do this as a joke, and they are offended. Mm-hmm. And they are angry, and they're showing a bit of a rage. Desh ke khilaaf hui duniya. That means the world unites against our nation.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people were saying that it's not just PewDiePie versus T-Series, it's India is like alone in this.
In an effort to defuse the vitriol unleashed by the subscriber war, PewDiePie asked his fans to support a charity for Indian children. Clay Shirky says the aggression exhibited by his most vocal fans suggests that for these guys, racism is the principal fuel.
He does offer lowercase w, lowercase s white supremacy.
What is that?
He is in that mode of white guy gamer for whom he exemplifies a kind of freedom to be caustic and insulting without consequence. And that is something that has been given to white men more than to other members of society. And to hear that people who like Bhangra and Bollywood music are going to displace him does in fact raise those cultural anxieties.
Do we want an American in the top YouTube spot, or do we want an Indian man succeeding better on a platform that us Americans created?
Former Gateway pundit White House correspondent Lucian Wintrich at the right-wing American Priorities Conference in D.C. The neo-Nazi site Daily Stormer, with tongue firmly in cheek, called PewDiePie the true leader of all racists, anti-Semites, and fascists, hoping no doubt to entice a few of his terminally ironic viewers while inciting hysterics in the mainstream press. And PewDiePie's also gotten the nod from Canadian psychologist Jordan Peterson, who depicts PC culture and left-wing politics as mortal threats to Western civilization.
Hey, Jordan, what are you doing right now?
I'm subscribing to PewDiePie.
What everyone has learned on all sides of the political spectrum now is how to take an isolated event in the world and add it to the giant referendum on everything that we're currently living through.
Even if PewDiePie doesn't mean it, especially if he doesn't mean it, because he's saying that if you don't mean it, it's kind of okay.
It's just a prank, bro. It's just a prank. Don't you like pranks, bro? I guess you don't like pranks.
Meanwhile, in the war for subscribers, the internet's Swedish emperor still claims the prize, but his grasp is increasingly shaky.
Smartphone penetration in India is less than 25%, which is to say the West has topped out. There will be incremental growth only. When India has triple the number of people online that it has now, something that's not possible in the US or Europe, T-Series will leave PewDiePie well behind. This is kind of John Henry and the Machine, right? There's this last-ditch attempt by PewDiePie's fans to kind of create fake demand to push him over the 80 million mark, which they've done, 80 million subscribers. Mm-hmm. But a lot of that's people's second email addresses or people doing it as a joke. Like, his view counts aren't going up as fast as his subscriber counts. Mm-hmm. This is not an audience anymore. Mm-hmm. But it's not even a competition because the T-Series people don't care.
We asked Louis, media analyst and the 11-year-old son of our executive producer, Catcher Rogers, to offer some perspective from middle school. Louis says that subscribing to PewDiePie is more meme than anything else. In fact, he sees the current competition as merely a temporary reprieve for a brand that was already losing its luster.
Some people, I could see them listening to one sentence of PewDiePie and just hating him, thinking he's so racist, and he is a lot. Also, sometimes I could see him just doing it to get more views, just to get money. I don't feel like he's actually really trying for good content. So no one really watches his videos if they subscribe to PewDiePie. They just press subscribe, leave his channel.
But I still got paid anyway. But I still got paid anyway.
Right after this whole PewDiePie vs. T-Series thing, he's going to be gone. No one's going to care about him.
But I still got paid anyway.
I'm guessing that not many of you ever did care about him. But this show is about big symbolic issues, so I'll end on the ones addressed earlier this hour, the perils of capitalism and what happens when the basic human need for attention is denied, and wrap them both up in the saga of PewDiePie. This week, Eli Pariser wrote in Time magazine about restoring dignity to technology, and he drew on the work of Harvard researcher Donna Hicks, who tracked how violent conflict around the world arises from assault to human dignity, how being excluded stimulates the same part of the brain as a physical wound. Pariser laid out how online platforms like Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube threaten our dignity, ignoring what we want and distracting us with what we don't, so that we stay and stay and stay. Eager eyeballs, angry eyeballs, anguished eyeballs are all worth the same. PewDiePie knows this, and he may be sorry, but not that sorry. Extrapolate to the culture, it's not hard, and you'll see that it doesn't respect us either. I used to blame human nature for the messes we made online and off, but I'm starting to realize that our natures are plastic. We could be enticed easily to be our better selves, but we wouldn't be worth as much because we wouldn't need to stay so long.
That's it for this week's show. On the Media is produced by Alana Casanova-Burgess, Michael Loewinger, Leah Fetter, John Hanrahan, and Oster Chaturvedi. We had more help from Zandra Ellen, and our show was edited by Brooke. Our technical director is Jennifer Munson. Our engineers this week were Sam Baer and Josh Hahn.
Katya Rogers is our executive producer. On the Media is a production of WNYC Studios. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
And I'm Bob Garfield.
On the Media is supported by the Ford Foundation, the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, and the listeners of WNYC Radio.